Green, written by Cat 1905 and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, Harry Potter. Relationship, Draco Malfoy / Harry Potter. Rating, teen and up audiences. No archive warnings apply. From the additional tags, POV Draco Malfoy, Pining, Light Angst, Happy Ending. Summary. His favorite color has always been green, but it took a very special green to fully understand what that meant. Green had been his favorite color ever since he knew what favorite meant. He was raised to favor green. He was the heir to one of the most famous Slytherin families in the history of wizarding Britain, after all. But he only truly understood the full depth of his love for the color when his gaze first met the startling and piercing green eyes of the boy he'd be forced to call his arch-nemesis. Forced by his upbringing, his own confusing feelings, and the inability to decipher and process such feelings. Still, those green eyes haunted him. In first year, it was manageable, his mind only spiraling around them when he met the owner of those eyes in the halls or had a conversation / fight with him during their shared lessons. With time, his obsession only grew. In second year, it was laced with anger and jealousy as he was suspected to be the true heir of Slytherin, a title not even his family could claim for themselves. And how did this rumor even come to life? He was a Gryffindor, and that really should have stopped every suspicion before it fully formed, because there was no way the heir of Slytherin would have been sorted into Gryffindor. Third year was a little hazy in his mind. The green eyes only flashed through it without real context. A constant enough present to never let him fully rest, but also not near enough to actually grasp, always just out of his reach. By fourth year, he noticed a change. Ever so slightly, his thoughts had shifted. The green had stolen its way into his dreams. It all started with their first meeting after summer, in the train back to school. He had already changed into the uniform, but hadn't put on the robes over them, and his eyes roamed over his frame without permission. Summer had changed him. Still so slim, he almost looked starved, but shot up in height, so he was a little shorter now. Therefore, those green eyes looked down on him before they passed each other and stepped into their respective compartments. Then he had the audacity to be chosen, as a champion in the tournament, and gained even more fame with it. There was no escape. Wherever he went, he was met with articles accompanied with pictures of those green eyes. They appeared in nearly every dream, mocked him even when he just closed his eyes for a moment. In the first task, he was such a show-off with his broom, as if his flying abilities were anything out of the ordinary. But he noticed that he seemed to have put on some weight. His taller frame was filled with lean muscles, rounding out the picture almost perfectly. That thought was confirmed by the second task when all of Hogwarts and the guests got to watch him emerge from the lake like a hero in the old tales. Water streamed down his body, his clothes clung to him, and arms flexed as he carried the young Beauxbatons girl to the shore. And the sigh that escaped him when the final task was over didn't mean that he was relieved his favorite shade of green was still there, would still pierce him when he made one of his cruel comments or shot a hex at some unimportant half-blood. Neither was his thrumming heart any indication that he felt anything but hate and disdain for the golden boy. Fifth year gave him the opportunity to officially stare his full, getting rewarded for watching and following his every step. He and his team also won the first ever match of Quidditch against the Gryffindors, against him. But no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't find out why Professor Snape gave extra private lessons to him. As if Snape of all people would spend extra time with students, one especially. In sixth year, he should have been too busy and afraid to notice anything outside his given task, but finding himself the target of the person he had been secretly, or not so secretly, obsessed with, had a way of pulling his focus from that cursed cabinet. Having a stalker, being followed by those green eyes wherever he went, was exhilarating. When it all got too much, he hid in an empty broom closet or an abandoned classroom, shut his eyes, and let his fantasies roam freely. And if his fantasies weren't the only things that roamed, no one could ever prove it. Also sixth, was the year he marked him for the rest of his life. The slashes were the reason he heard him plead, heard him apologize over and over again, heard him whisper his given name. He would never forget that sound. Not even a curse or obliviation could scrape the memory from his brain. After years of obsession, of hoping and trying to get that green glare on him, after finally succeeding and knowing what it felt like to have what he longed for, 7th year, the year of the war, was dull, depleted of color, and cold. He hadn't returned this September, and as everyone suffered for the war and the changes and challenges that came with it, he suffered from his very own form of deprivation. That withdrawal was the only reason he lied when he was asked to identify the boy covered in pustules and swollen flesh laying on the floor of his ancestral home. Lied, as it was obvious who laid there to his feet. He would recognize those eyes everywhere. No amount of concealment, of magic-caused bloating, could ever hide his favorite color, the shade of green that never left his consciousness. Lied, because he would rather die than live in a world where those eyes would never meet him, with distaste or any other impression, ever again. If those eyes went cold, dark and empty, so would the world. He was sure of it. So that was the reason why he helped the trio escape, in extent, why the loss of his wand and the torture he had to endure because of it was worthwhile. Because what would be the point in fighting, in choosing a side, when the world would just cease to exist? The only thing he remembered clearly from the Battle of Hogwarts was the cut of cold that slashed through him at the sight of his limp body in the arms of that hairy giant. He remembered looking down his body, sure there would be an icicle piercing his chest visible for everyone. Despite the deadly weapon firmly placed in his insides, he started running towards him, ignoring everyone and every sound around him. But before he could move more than a few steps, he suddenly dropped to the ground and got up as if nothing happened. The icy sword was replaced instantly by a raging fire, consuming him, the only thing that would be able to douse it the soothing green he thought lost to the world, lost to him for some agonizing moments. He made some grand scene, defeated the Dark Lord, saved the wizarding world, etc., etc. None of it mattered the moment he got to see his favorite color again, bathed in the deep pools of it, and let himself believe for just a second that he would be allowed to do just that for the rest of his time. That day, that memory, was long past. Years stretched between then and now, years filled with all shades of green. Green envy when he learned that the Weaselette was still dating him. Green haze when they first met in secret in greenhouse number 3. A green pocket square glinting on his chest, matching the shade of the vest of his custom-tailored dress robes for the first official appearance at a ministry function. And so many more. But Draco's favorite color would forever be the shade of green Harry's eyes had first thing in the morning, gleaming soft in the light flitting through their curtains. Watching him wake up, and shining ever brighter when his favorite smile stretched his lips. The end.